Good evening. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse, and you are listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley. I am your host, Sally Hanlon. Wellness is important to a balanced lifestyle, and more, we as humanity are figuring out how certain elements can lead to positive results. From mental health to environment, including all things that can affect your wellness, I'm happy to invite you into the conversations on ways to improve or think differently about wellness in the Lehigh Valley. And this evening we have a very special program and two special guests with us. We're going to be talking about mental health, focusing on our student population. So I wanted to start with a definition so we're all on the same page as we go through tonight's program. So according to Macmillan Health, mental health includes our emotional, social, and psychological well-being. It affects how we think and act and how we interact with others. And tonight you're going to be hearing about a mental health needs assessment of the Lehigh Valley middle and high schools that was completed in November 2022. According to that research, youth in America are weathering an escalating mental health crisis so severe that child health care organizations like the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association are calling it a mental health state of emergency. And as you're listening, remember that these children and these youth are our nation's future leaders, teachers, doctors, engineers, and social workers. It sort of sends a chilling thought up my spine as I think about this. We all know that mental health has been a concern for middle and high school students for a while, but COVID certainly put some stress on that as well. And today's youth who have grown up in the age of social media are having extra pressures put on their adolescence growth. So tonight we're going to shed a little light on this, on the study, and talk about what one school, Liberty High School in Bethel Mary School District, one of the programs they've been piloting to provide potential solutions. So, my guests, I'd like to introduce to my listeners here Attorney Joe Welsh, founder and executive director of the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute. Welcome, Joe.
Welcome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I mean, the study was wonderfully done, but I don't like the statistics that are in there, so hopefully we'll shed some light on how to deal with that. And also with us is Dr. Harrison Bailey, principal of Liberty High School. Welcome, Dr. Bailey.
Oh, thank you for having us. I truly appreciate the subject and having the conversation.
Well, and I'm anxious to learn more about what it is you're doing at Liberty High School. But before we do that, I'm going to ask each of you to share a little bit of your background with our listeners so they get to know who the guests are and where they're coming from with their perspectives. So, Joe, let's start with you.
Yeah, generally, I've been involved in government and political campaigns and governmental issues for almost 50 years.
Wow. Okay.
Mostly here in the Lehigh Valley. I did a substantial amount of civil rights litigation focusing on police misconduct and prison conditions mostly. And while we were able to get justice for individuals, you know, bringing individual cases, I didn't feel that the litigation route was really moving the needle that much. I was very happy when Richard Master, our founder from the Unfinished Business Foundation, presented this opportunity to form the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute.
Oh, I didn't know Richard was behind that.
Yes, Richard was our founder and our primary funder.
All right, because I've had him a number of times on the show, and he's been doing amazing work with the health area.
He's done amazing work with the health area. He was interested in getting into justice issues and particularly looking at a local project, and hence the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute was born. And interestingly, our work is sort of intersecting with his healthcare work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And today's topic is one of those intersections.
Okay, great. And Dr. Bailey.
Sure. I am a transplant. I came originally from New York City and through New Jersey to here. I was started here in 91 at Lafayette College, attended there, and I've been here ever since.
We kept you. Even with the brain drain, we kept you.
Yeah, I never got back out. So, but it's been an incredible ride. I'm now in my 29th year in education.
Wow.
And 12th year at Liberty High School as a principal. And it has been a true blessing. I cannot say enough of how incredible the entire Bethlehem family has been. But prior to that, I was at Parkland High School for 11 years as an assistant principal. And so I've been in the education field for a minute. And so it is neat to be kind of on the downside of it, on the back slope. But just to see the changes in education the things that have happened over time, and to have that perspective, just a neat experience.
Okay. All right. So, and you've had a variety of types of schools between Parkland and Bethlehem. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I taught at Freedom for a little while. I taught at Centennial School through Lehigh for a while.
Okay.
And then at Parkland and now Liberty. So.
All right. Well, great. Well, I'm so happy to have you both here and to be able to share this information with our listeners, because I think it is so critical, especially when you think about the future leadership of America and how are we supporting that leadership and their growth today. Joe, I want to talk with you first a little bit about the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute. I mean, you mentioned that it was that Richard Master had founded it and it was based on doing some issues. But when was it founded, and what types of projects have you undertaken besides what we're going to be referencing tonight?
It was founded in October of 2020. We were incorporated on October 13th, which means we were born under the sign of Libra, the scales.
And COVID.
And COVID, which presented all sorts of challenges, of course. Basically, we wanted to take the 50,000-foot view of local criminal justice issues. And so we focused much of our work on Lehigh and Northampton County specifically. But we believe that the work that we're doing here is of national import because, as we all know, the Lehigh Valley is a microcosm for the country. Mm-hmm. We have various constituencies here that represent those throughout the nation. And, of course, since this is a year divisible by four, we will be tripping over the national and even international media, since we are the swing area of a very important swing state in the national elections. So we're confident that the research and the solutions that we uncover here are portable and could be taken nationwide. And Dr. Bailey's innovations at Liberty is just a fantastic example of something that could be a national model.
Okay, now you brought along tonight some things that you've also done. Could you just, for our listeners, share a little bit about these programs? And this is quite a lot of work since you were just founded in 2020.
Yes, we have a very, very dedicated staff and also a very robust internship program.
Okay.
And we believe we're providing very meaningful opportunities for interns to get their hands dirty in the trenches with data, because we're a data-driven organization, using data to address social justice and criminal justice issues. Some of the studies that we have done, one, we did a 10-year analysis of landlord-tenant cases in Lehigh County. And what prompted that was the Lehigh County commissioners were showing an interest in the eviction issue. We presented a report to them showing that, looking at 10 years' worth of cases, tenants win in landlord-tenant court 0.9% of the time, meaning if you had 1,000 tenants in a room, 9 of them would win. And I suspect that may be because the landlord forgot to show up.
Yeah, wow.
But, yeah, it's a heavily stacked system. And the results of our work prompted the Lehigh County commissioners to create a new line item in the county budget and appropriate $200,000 as a starting program for eviction relief.
Okay, and I'd like to get into more of these, and we're going to have to bring you back, I think, and talk about some
maybe,
of these issues,
yes.
Because there's a lot, and I really want to spend some time on the mental health.
Yeah.
But listeners, there's an abstract that's on clogging the courts, and there's something on governmental disclosure. So, yes, we will have Attorney Welsh back to talk about some of these issues. But I want to talk to you now about why you did the mental health needs assessment. How did you get it started? Was it through Richard Masters? Was it through Dr. Bailey?
The way it came about we were looking, originally when we started looking at criminal justice issues, we were looking at a lot of sort of the mechanical aspects, like cash bail and what's known as the school-to-prison pipeline.
That just really struck me as right to my heart, school-to-prison pipeline.
Right. So we started looking at what are alternatives to criminalizing what I like to say back in my day were internal disciplinary matters in mm-hmm. high school. And we came upon Dr. Bailey's program, and we thought it was very interesting. And it sort of opened our eyes to the role that mental health plays in fueling the school-to-prison pipeline. And so we decided to take a comprehensive look at local school districts, and we used data from the Pennsylvania Youth Survey, which is an anonymous self-reporting survey of students in junior and senior high school. And we found that 1 in 9 had taken an act in furtherance of a suicide plan.
That just stuck out when I read that report. That's so sad.
It's a staggering statistic.
Yeah. Okay. So you have all the statistics behind this and the results of the survey, which listeners, we're going to post that information on the website so you can get a hold of this study yourself. And please take a look at it. But let's now talk to Dr. Bailey about what Liberty High School has been doing both before this research was done during COVID and now, you know, that we have the documentary that's coming out by Richard Master.
Sure. So at Liberty, we recognized prior to the pandemic, it was about 2016 when we started the conversation about trauma. We came across a video by Nadine Burke Harris, a TED Talk. At that point, she worked in California as a doctor, and she became the Surgeon General there. And that video really opened our eyes to the impact of trauma and mental health and mental wellness and the way in which trauma impacts the brains and bodies of everyone, but specifically children. And so that led us to understand that we were dealing with a much bigger issue than we even realized. We were seeing a lot of behavior, trying to do as much as we could on the academic side, but not seeing the yield that we wanted. And so we had to put some changes in place. And that was where we really started the process of educating our entire staff on this word trauma. And this was before anyone was really talking about mental health in any real open fashion. And so that process kicked off, became about a 2-year process of conversation, professional development, and learning. Created a committee in-house. That committee consisted of teachers, administrators, secretaries, nurses, a social worker. We just sat down and talked and utilized some resources to come up with a plan. And so ultimately developed our components of a trauma-informed school and began to put it into place. And when we did that, we knew from the start that we wanted to, whatever work we did, we wanted it to be replicated throughout the Commonwealth. And fortunately, did a lot of that work as well as looking at our referral system and the way in which we get student services, because one of the major hurdles for schools is having enough services for students to access.
Yeah.
So we had to deal with that hurdle and as well made the decision to formulate our own wellness center.
Okay. And on that note, let us take a break. And we're going to come back to that because I want to talk to you about the student population at Liberty and a few other things that you recognize, the trauma incidents. So we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Wellness Lehigh Valley with our guest, Dr. Harrison Bailey, principal, Liberty High School, and attorney Joe Welsh, who's founder and executive director of Lehigh Valley Justice Institute. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Weekend Edition Saturday is a well-rounded news talk program about the economy, music, literature, and more. Join host Scott Simon and company as they discuss the latest events happening around the world. Start your weekend off with great programming beginning with Weekend Edition Saturday at 8 a.m., followed by NPR's Fresh Air Weekend at 10 a.m., and great folk, blues, and Americana on All Reed Street at 11 a.m., all here on WDIY.
Welcome back to our Wellness Lehigh Valley Discourse program. We are talking about the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute study and our mental health of our students here in the Lehigh Valley with Joe Welsh, who's the founder and executive director of the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, and Dr. Harrison Bailey, principal of Liberty High School. And before we went to break, we were talking about sort of the research that the staff at Liberty High School, all levels of staff, went through in 2016 before the program actually came about. And one of the things that you mentioned, Dr. Bailey, was that it became sort of a trauma focus, you know, understanding what was affecting the students. Can you give us some examples or some thoughts regarding what the students are going through that create the need for some mental health support?
Sure. So we all know that in our lives, especially since the pandemic, we all experience trauma. We all experience stress. And one of the challenges specifically for young people is that that stress can turn toxic. You know, some stress is good, some stress is bad. Mm-hmm. But when that stress is not accompanied by a caring adult or the ability to manage that stress effectively, it can turn toxic. And that has a significant impact on brains and bodies of children. Specifically, it places many of our children in what we would term a fight or flight type mode.
Oh, your inflammation goes up, your whole body
absolutely.
Gets, oh boy.
And so there have been some amazing studies that have been done. Kaiser Permanente did a study that really sparked what's called ACEs, the Adverse Childhood Experiences Study. And that really has been the linchpin for a lot of the work that is done around childhood trauma. And it talks about how the impact of things that we may consider to be commonplace, divorce, abuse, the impact of sexual abuse, the things in our lives that at one point some of us may deal with, you know, one, two, three, or four of these things. But what we recognize is that over time, the more ACEs you have, long-term without any true support to manage those things, they not only are impactful temporarily or immediately, but they're impactful on your physical health mm-hmm. in the years ahead. And so the work that we do, as I tell my staff, is sacred work. Not just trying to help a student through what they're dealing with now, but we're trying to prevent them from contracting long-term significant disease. And that's everything
Absolutely.
From cancer, heart attack, stroke, et cetera, all go up the more ACEs that you have prior to the age of 18.
And has social media really sort of underscored this problem because of the bullying and the shaming that goes on for these children?
Social media has definitely had a significantly negative impact from the standpoint of when we were kids, you left school, you left the playground, and you went home, and the negativity stopped. As long as you didn't have a negative person in your home, you had a safe space. But children now go home and they're on their phones till 10, 11, 12, 1 in the morning, and that negative impact doesn't stop. And so that is the side of this that really has had a significant impact on our children. The majority of the negative interactions that occur, not just at Liberty, but at every school, really come out of what they say to each other on social media. It has very little to do with what they say to each other face-to-face or in schools.
Yeah, they don't generally talk face-to-face anymore. So you have taken sort of this model and you have shared it with the state, the House of Representatives or the state's Senate. I'm not quite sure which one. Why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. So myself and Mr. Nick Samatelidis, who is one of my assistant principals, we've presented this model all over the state and at the national conference last year for principals. We'll be at the national conference again in July down in Nashville. But I was also fortunate enough to present this at the House Committee, the House Education Committee in Harrisburg. They were doing a study on mental health and kind of looking at it across the Commonwealth, and I was one of the panelists. And I had the opportunity to speak to them about what we're doing at Liberty, the Wellness Center and the referral system that we have in place, trying to get them to see that we need to have this type of service in every school, definitely our secondary schools across the Commonwealth. Each of these schools needs to have a system of helping people, specifically our children, deal with toxic stress and trauma.
Okay. And the documentary, Liberty, A Culture of Wellness, by the Unfinished Business Foundation, was that something that came about as you gave these presentations? Is it something that's more recent as far as a documentary, and how will that be used?
Yeah, so we started the Wellness Center, interestingly enough, immediately when we got back from the pandemic, our Wellness Center opened.
Okay.
And so fortunately, that allowed us to really be able to work with a lot of our students who otherwise would have had no services. And over time, we were fortunate enough, again, to present on it, talk about it. I pretty much never shut up about it. And that got the word out to LEJI and their incredible organization to want to showcase it and spread the word to our community.
Okay. And Joe, you had said during the break that you're looking to go back and revisit the particular work that you had done for this study.
Yeah, although we're data-driven in our research, we also like to have that data coupled with storytelling and try to get into individual lives and how they're impacted. And so what we're doing this year is we're doing a study of students as they progress through Dr. Bailey's Wellness Center and seeing how their attitudes toward life in general may or may not change as they go through the program. We'll be publishing those results probably at the end of the school year.
And that will be specific to the Liberty students versus the information you got originally.
The Valley-wide study, yes.
Okay, all right.
Exactly.
Good.
Part of our mission is promoting solutions and ideally promoting locally based solutions so that we don't have to wait for Harrisburg to act and we don't have to wait for Washington to act and get its act together. But any money they would like to offer and support, we'd be glad to see come to the schools like Dr. Bailey's.
Okay. And Dr. Bailey, you involve some community partnerships with what you're doing. What kind of organizations have you been able to attract? Are you looking for additional organizations to support your efforts? And what other challenges, what are you seeing happening as you look over the time that this has started till now?
We've been very fortunate in the way that which we've built this over many years, but the way that we've built it has allowed us to partner with many different organizations. So our therapists come from Pine Brook Solutions. We have mindfulness from the Prayush Foundation going on in our school. We have a great partner in Moravian University, and which provides us our occupational therapy and the programs that they run in our Peace Room. Many different organizations have come together to allow us to run our center the way we do. And of course, not to mention that the Bethlehem School District has been such a blessing, and our school board and our district administrators seeing how important mental health is. And so now the next step for us is to really talk more about how we turn this into not just a school-based model, but a community-based model.
Okay.
One in which involves bringing our hospitals, our schools, our universities, and our police forces all together to kind of work in what they term a collective impact to try to make some inroads. Because we have what I believe is a great model, but standing alone, the sustainability is just not there.
Sure.
And so we need to be able to, if we're going to duplicate this across the Commonwealth and hopefully across the country, we need to show how communities can come together and work in symbiosis to conquer this animal.
Now, Joe, you had mentioned that, you know, because you're a data organization, that, you know, you involve, like, interns a lot in your program. And the other thing I want to ask, the same question of you, Dr. Bailey. If somebody's interested, how do they get engaged in your programs?
It's very simple. Go to our website, lvji.org, Lehigh Valley Justice Institute, LVJI. Just hit the Contact Us page. Leave a message saying they're interested in internships, and our administrator who handles the internship program will get back to you.
Okay. And Dr. Bailey, you know, I know that you probably need some sort of educational or degree for some of the work that's done in your program, but how do you go about attracting, getting, how do people get involved?
Yeah. So for people who are really interested in going into this field, I would say bigger than just us, because I've always tried to frame this as that this is much bigger than Liberty High School. The entire district is involved in conquering and improving mental wellness for children. And so what I encourage people to do is to engage in the organizations in their community that are involved in this work. If you really want to get into it, go to Moravian and get your degree. Get training so that you're formally ready to work with students, because we're talking about our most precious resource. So we need people who are trained well and properly to do this work. The other piece is that we are always in need of people to become mentors to students. So you're not necessarily working as mental health workers, but you're providing an important resource. We know that the number one intervention to prevent a student moving from stress to toxic stress is one caring adult. And mm-hmm. So if we have impactful, really effective mentors, we're going to have less students that have to deal with this unbelievable mental health epidemic.
How many students do you have at Liberty?
We bounce between 26,500 and 2,800, just depends on the year. So a beautifully diverse population of students at Liberty High School. We are, I always say, a microcosm of America. Every kid that you could think of walks the halls at Liberty High. Beautiful place.
Well, and I would think trying to get, I mean, you don't want to have one counselor for, 30, I don't know, what are the statistics? I mean, it's really hard to have somebody be effective if they're spread very thin among a number of students.
Mm-hmm. We are in a good position in terms of our guidance counselors.
Okay.
Our numbers are not horrible in comparison to many schools across the country. But the need that many of our students have is significant. And so it requires a great deal of all of our staff, our guidance counselors, teachers, nurses, secretaries, everyone is working at full capacity, not just to educate students, not just to provide for the needs of students, but to attack this mental health animal. Because we know if a student is struggling with their mental health, that is going to directly impact their education. And so we have to try to deal with it.
Okay. And Joe, you had indicated that in addition to the interns, there's projects that you identify periodically, that like the renters program and some others. If somebody has an idea and they want to suggest that maybe the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute take it, maybe under consideration, how do they do that?
Easiest way is, once again, the contact us form on the website, lvji.org. And I do want to point out that in addition to this kind of high-level academic research, we've already been published in one peer-reviewed journal. We also do community outreach programs, and one of those we're going to be doing on May 14th, which is a reentry simulation, which will allow participants in the simulation to walk through the first 4 weeks of being released from jail and trying to reenter the community and all of the hurdles that are placed in your way. We did one last year at Northampton Community College with a group out of Franklin County. This year we're doing one at the Executive Education Building on May 14th. We're doing that in conjunction with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Wow.
The other thing I do want to say, we are so blessed in Bethlehem to have two fantastic leaders, one of them sitting next to me, Dr. Bailey, and the other one is Chief Cott, who is doing very innovative things with the Bethlehem Police Department in addressing mental health issues in the community and building up a mental health co-responder program.
We are fortunate, and as a community, I think Lehigh Valley, but Bethlehem in particular, tends to come together and rally and do things that generally you don't have to wait for another government body to do. The community commitment and volunteerism is pretty special here.
And it's needed. Yeah. It's needed very badly. Our community is one in which comes together but recognizes that we need to support each other. Mental health in our country is truly in shambles. And so we have no choice but to help each other out.
Okay. Listeners, we're about ready to wrap up, and I want to remind you of two things. We will have links to the study that was done by the Lehigh Valley Justice Institute regarding the mental health of our middle and high school students, and we will also have a link that will go to the documentary that was put out by Unfinished Business Foundation called Liberty, A Culture of Wellness. So when this gets on the website of WDIY, you will have those links available to you. Dr. Bailey, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I just thank you for showcasing this incredibly important topic. And I hope that more and more people in your position make this a public outcry because it certainly is needed.
Okay. And Joe?
Just to reiterate what Dr. Bailey said, this is our future we're talking about.
Thank you both very much for being a part of the show today. Thank you, listeners, for taking the time to listen. I am Sally Hanlon. This is WDIY 88.1 FM. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we'll see you next time on Wellness Lehigh Valley.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.